Mr. President, I come to the rostrum to add a drop to the torrents of feeling about Sir Winston Churchill that have already engulfed the parliaments of the world and the minds and hearts of men everywhere. A drop is all, because all that our poor tongues can utter has been said about this mighty man. Yet, it is right and fitting, sir, that we raise our voices in respect and mourning for Sir Winston, whose life and labors so often raised our spirits. We shall not soon see his like again. And to paraphrase some words of Lincoln, the world will little note nor long remember what we say, but it will never forget what Winston Churchill did. It is plain that the world will be diminished by his death, as it has already been immeasurably enlarged by his life. As Burke said of Pitt, he was not merely a chip off the old block, but the old block itself. For when we praise great men who have gone from us, it is appropriate to think of them not in the greatness of death, with their chapter finished and their allotted span run out, but rather in the greatness of their life. The example they leave us, the achievements they inspire in us, the stimulus of their faith and courage. It is thus that great men live in history, not as dead monuments, but as living inspiration. And it is especially for this, I suspect, that Sir Winston Churchill will live, for his fellow countrymen, for his allies, for his honorable foes, and also for all the children of men. It is therefore especially fitting that here in this great assembly, representing all mankind, to speak of those human qualities in Sir Winston which in generations to come will light the way for those who follow. Naturally, he is chiefly praised today as the statesman, soldier, politician, leader in war and prophet in peace, exponent of reconciliation of peoples, and a founding father of the United Nations. But what of those human qualities that set him apart from the statues in the park? Those qualities that caused multitudes to call him simply Winston. The first, I believe, was his delight in all the human arts, for he was a writer of genius, a historian of depth, a painter of vast talent, orator, wit, and even dedicated bricklayer. Nothing human was alien to him. He brought to all man's major pursuits a zest, a purpose, and a capacity which made him, in a real sense, a universal man. And it was perhaps this zest that is the key to the second noble achievement he offers us in the art of living greatly. He was never cast down. He never lost faith. In the darkest hour, his undiminished confidence in the greatness of human experience and the secrets and possibilities of life was never quenched. He survived disaster. He fought every uphill fight as joyously as he did his most triumphant engagements. And through it all, he maintained a gallantry of spirit, a wry humor, a compassion for human frailties that took all grimness out of his fortitude and all pomposity out of his dedication. From his memory breathes an incomparable zest for life, a proud and passionate faith in its promise and its dignity, and a gay and understanding acceptance of its weaknesses and its humiliations. No man could leave us a greater example of living than this. No virtues better symbolize the hopes and the necessities of our common humanity.
I thank you, sir.